Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole, exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. I am indeed Golden Hawk, as that nice gentleman just said. This is indeed another reality show. Yay! This is my 6th anniversary show. I'm really, really excited to share with you all the changes that I'm going to be going through and the show is going to be going through. And before we get into that, let me introduce my enchanting and beautiful and wonderful partner, sister, co-host, and rabbit hole journeyer, Janine Kimmel, to the show. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, Goldie. Hello, everybody. I'm really happy to be here on your 6th anniversary and happy birthday show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Janine has just shared with me prior to coming on the air that on my way, on the way to my house, that beautiful sun picture with the butterfly that we spoke about and referenced on Monday night's show, Janine is gifting me with that print for my birthday, which I'm ecstatic about. It's a gorgeous print. It says, you know, so much symbolism, and the fact that it was painted by her, her.
Thank you.
Where'd you go? Yeah, you're amazing, Janine. Sometimes I talk third party. It's like, no, she's right here, Goldie. Talk to her. So it was a beautiful gift. And also, just so everybody knows, Anya, my beloved, beloved, beautiful Anya, tonight told me when she got home with her mom, I was with her sister Sahana all day, Anya brought me into her room and said that she basically wants to get me one of Janine's posters for my birthday. And that literally, Anya is 7 years old and is going to pay for this herself.
Well,
she personally wants to buy me a gift, and she wants it to be one of the doorways. And the doorway she picked for me before she, because she told me about it, and I think she was supposed to keep it kind of a secret, and Anya's very much like me. We just don't keep secrets very well. And because she ended up blurting out once, she showed me it was the mysterious cup, and it's the seventh doorway. And I was like, Anya, you know, I thought it was, we were picking it out for Anya. And I was like, Anya, that's an exquisite painting. And, you
how
know, I think you had, and then Anya goes, actually, it's for you for your birthday. And I just lost it. I was just crying and bawling my eyes out and hugging that kid because, you know, boy, she's 7 years old and thinking about me and my birthday. You know, that just, I don't know. That, you know, I'm quite moved. And then I come home and Janine tells me she's thinking about me. And, you know, she's not seven, but it's still just as touching. I just feel very loved and very blessed. And it's beautiful. I know a lot of people out there don't celebrate their birthdays. And I honor that. But that's not me. I'm going to be 47. I am proud to be the age that I'm at. I feel like I'm 97, but that's a whole other show. And I am, you know, I think, you know, for the longest time, Halloween, New Year's Eve, and my birthday were three significant days. And I can tell you, Halloween was great because I was allowed to be, like, for many, many years, I was a cat for Halloween, and I loved being able to express in public my cat side. But just the whole idea that we can become something else and, you know, anything else, and, it, you know, it's socially acceptable, and really, I love that. and the beginning and the end, which was New Year's Eve, always, you know, I loved it. It was, you know, the end of one year, the beginning of another. And my birthday was kind of the same thing, except it was the personal, you know, beginning of my existence here. And, you know, so I, to this day, I still love all three of those, even though I don't dress like a cat anymore, because the way I look now, I'd be more a Cheshire cat. And, you know, I was going for the sexy cat when I was doing it. Now, you know, I'll sit back and let the kids enjoy themselves. And play in the world of imagination, you know, without having to dress up as a cat. I just want to kind of get it clear what's going on with another reality show. And then basically, my girlfriend Alana is going to call in at some point, and, you know, she was the one who actually helped start me on the show. God bless her. When she was 14, she was holding my hand, going, breathe, Goldie, breathe. So I'm really stoked. I told her she didn't have to spend the whole show. Just come in and, you know, share some of her experiences being on the show with me. But what I want to do now is I just want to let people know where the show is going, because after tonight, the show will no longer be every Thursday night from 8 to 10. It's really, for the last 6 months, whether it was people canceling or there was a couple of guests I had on that the channelers, and that I was really, you know, in all honestly, I'm just not resonating with those messages. And the clearest way I can put it is I'm not looking to promote the selling of the ascension. And I honor that totally, because for the last 16 years, you know, I have taken the courses, you know, bought the books, done, you know, built the Merkabahs and created meditational situations, and it got me to where I am. And I could not have done it without, you know, Reiki masterships and all of that, you know, type of energy. But in my journey, I'm not attracted to that anymore. Who I am today. Because, I mean, who I am today is, you know, I'm integrating the shadow work, and, you know, I'm a married woman allowing, you know, my husband to trigger the living shit out of me. life has become the workshop for me. And I'm interested in speaking to other people who are at the space where life has become the workshop. And like I said, I totally am not dishonoring the people who are selling the, you know, the systems and the their wisdom. But that's not the conversations. There's plenty of people doing that type of work on the radio. The word that came up for me was a word that Janine introduced me to when she first started, you know, interacting with me through Mastermind, which is, you know, the intimacy of life and the intimate conversations from a personal perspective of what it's like to live and breathe and transcend and integrate life in the year 2012, you know. And so those are going to be the kind of shows I'm going to have. And that's not to say that I don't, like, I have a woman coming on, Penny Pierce. You know, she wrote a book called Frequency. You know, it's not that she can't sell her work. It's just going to be different. I can't tell you how it's going to be different. I know, because I haven't done it yet. But the intent and what I'm letting people know is I just want to have intimate conversations from first person. You know, she can talk about the frequency of her life. She wrote the book, but it is also the way we ascend, you know, and the way we transcend. So, so that's my goal. And it also came very clear to me that I don't want to just do 8 to 10 Thursday nights. Monday nights when I do the 8 to 10 show with Janine, it's outstanding. I mean, I can't even tell you how much I love and adore doing Mystical Mother Earth every Monday night. And like this week we did Tuesday. I mean, we're flexible. But because every Monday night is just me and Janine. And I know who's with me. I know the frequency. I'm comfortable. I'm finding, you know, with other guests, I want to be able to do it maybe during the day, maybe on a Saturday. And, you know, with Blog Talk Radio, that's totally the potential. So, you know, hell, why the hell am I not utilizing it? And even to some degree, me and Janine have even spoken and said, listen, we'll do Monday 8 to 10, and we might do a couple other shows also during the week at, you know, any unspecific time, just random times. Because we can. And B, it just seems to, it just fits who I am and where I want to be right now. And where I want to be is fluid and as spontaneous as feels comfortable. And that just totally feels comfortable to me. So that's basically, you know, I might be doing more than one show in any given week. I might not do a show for 3 weeks with another reality show. I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I just know there's no rules. I get to do whatever I want to do, you know, in congruency with my guests. And, you know, that's a frequency personally that I'm very comfortable in. So, you know, what I would just basically say is if you know me from Facebook, anytime I'm doing a show, I'll post it. And, you know, you'll catch me live. You won't catch me. You know, you can catch the archives. You know, it's all good. I mean, it reminds me of like the dream state and the waking state. Truth be told, the energy is so profound right now. Unless the object was to call in and actually ask a question, beyond that, live or archived, the frequency that you're receiving from the message and the show is exactly the same. I mean, it's exactly the same. It's always there. It's available if you listen to it several times, if you listen to it a month down the road. That's just how I feel, and that's why I'm not, you know, going, oh, you know, because some people were like, you're going to lose your audience. And I'm like, I think my audience gets spontaneity. I mean, I think we all get that. And, you know, just yeah. fly through your instincts, right? I mean, this is... Fly through your intuition.
Also, it feels fresh and new. You know, I think, you know, transformation really, wonderfully requires, you know, a new perspective, change. And I remember when I, you know, renovated and redid all my websites, just really completely started over, loved just upgrading them, changing them. You know, it's, I just think that it's so healthy on all areas, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, to change things up, you know, and
right on. Right
it really
on.
Keeps you flexible. It keeps you on your toes. It's fresh. And, it feels right. I mean, six years, by the way, is a consistently long time. So, I mean, it feels so right to go, oh, time for change. You know, that's the beauty. The whole point is, for me, is in the moment, alive, and that's what the show is. And so, you know, I mean, I love that when people, the right people always listen in who is supposed to listen in. So
right, exactly.
Yeah, so that's...
Infinite
that's,
trust. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, I remember.
Right,
you know, they say, you know, who showed up is exactly who is supposed to show up. You know,
right,
and
on.
And that feels
yeah.
right to me, and that feels
yeah,
authentic.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Plus,
so,
it's fun. I love to see what happens. It's what you know. It's like it's more
yeah,
surprising,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
Or like today you just were surprised with your two new prints, and you know, and that,
yeah.
these things are happening to me all the time. Where out of nowhere is coming, you know, something new, and I just think that that's what the times are about right now, And I like it. It's not even, you know, it's not like, oh, that feels weird. I don't like, I do. I like it.
I like it as well. Oh, I
and
do.
When,
and I
yeah. And when we didn't do the show Monday night, it felt so fun to spontaneously announce, okay, we're going to do a show. And it was in the daylight. It was just so different. And that, to me, keeps me fresh and on my toes, and I love that.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
So.
Well, and I think it's important for people to know, you know, spontaneity, on some level, you can prepare for spontaneity by giving yourself no plans. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, it's like support the spontaneity by emptying the cup, so to speak, you know. I can't tell you how, from the perspective I'm having, just living in the now, how everything you just said about it being refreshing and having a new start, you know, when our cup is half full, even after a while, if you're just half full, that water's stagnant. You know, come
yes.
on, you got to move things around. Try, because nothing feels more lucid to me right now than trying something new.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the energy, man. Try something new. God, are you kidding me? It's ripe right now. It with the magic in the air is so ripe. Children get it naturally. But, you know, in our age groups, you know, the 35, 45, 55, 65 and up, I mean, we seem to get, you know, a little ruddy sometimes. Boy, I highly recommend and invite everyone consciously do something intentionally to put yourself in a
mm-hmm.
in a space that's unknown. Put yourself in a space that might even make you feel a little uncomfortable, because that's the juice of life is keeping it fresh, and keeping it fresh means it's not something you it's not your comfort zone. It's your uncomfortable
zone. Right.
You know,
right. And that practice of just meeting the moment and trusting that there's plenty of current, new, alive, you know, I don't know, conversation, that practice actually awakens more of you. Because
exactly.
It does. I can't explain it except that I'm living it, and I know you are, and I often talk to you now recently about, it seems as though the more you practice it, there's like this tipping point where, you know, you are, I mean, it's like almost being, you know, a wonderful dancer who doesn't need to practice and practice a choreography, because you're moving with the music, and it's just this timing, and it's just, it's a feeling, it's a sensation. So, I'm enjoying it so much that we come on and we're just here, and we're like, okay. But there just
exactly.
seems to be this, what?
I said exactly.
Yeah, so it's that's why this is so appropriate that another reality show, which of course I always was, you know, amused by the name, because it is like another reality. And it's constantly changing, you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun
exactly.
to see where, you know, where, what, when, and how.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and there's definitely still some old guests that, you know, old favorites, Anthony Farmer, Jennifer Adele, I mean, Nancy Ward. I will definitely have people back. I have some new people coming on. And there's some people, like I said, that I'm letting go. You know, this is all, I'm just dancing. I'm dancing with, you know, to be honest, I'm dancing with infinite trust, just like that cat was doing on that railing in that picture.
Mm.
I mean, you know, no fear, you know, kind of, I mean, just pure presence going, you know, okay, what's next? Okay, cool, whatever it is, you know, there was just, it feels right. I feel great. You know, it was interesting because something definitely integrated for me today specifically. Mm-hmm. And I know this because, and this is the key to the integration when it's done organically. I have definitely been feeling a stress that I've been verbalizing to Scott lately. And, you know, I recognize it to be old beliefs that are, you know, tugging at me because we did some clearing with 4-year-old Cindy. And there's also just some clearing I'm doing, you know, through anger, through my own anger, sleeping, because today I had a profound washing, and I mean that literally, like a basking of energy of gratitude that Scott's my husband and my partner, and that I'm blessed to be with him, and it was coming over me while I was at the hairdresser's, because I got my nails done today and my eyebrows waxed, and I went to the hairdresser and I had Sahana. I mean, it was funny. I didn't sleep well last night, so I was pretty tired. I got my period a couple of days ago, so that also makes me a little tired. And I knew I had a full day, and I wasn't, you know, I was a little bit going, you know, shit. You got a full day, and, you know, you're tired, and your body's a little weaker. And, okay, now let me tell you how the day, from the point of view after, you know, doing the last quote-unquote task, which is, of course, it's never a task to do the show. I love the show, especially with Janine. What a fantastic day I had. I mean, my hairdresser fit me in, no problem. It was actually in my sharing with her, because we have a mutual friend that she has at her shop that is a mutual friend from high school but is also on Facebook, and she basically said, I heard you got married. And in my sharing that I did, the gratitude, I just couldn't believe how grateful I felt and how in love with Scott I am. And I knew it was the space of that abandoned feeling had been integrated. And it's so funny because I didn't do anything particular. I didn't construct a meditation to alleviate that abandonment feeling. I simply spoke to my 4-year-old Cindy, had an experience, and then allowed the pain and the feelings to surface and then integrate. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like the first time I consciously can see that I there was no mental processing over this. There was, you know, there was addressing 4-year-old Cindy. There was, you know, I used my imagination. I did not use a mental procedure. And for anybody who's done a lot of, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four stuff, you know the difference. You know, imagination is I basically imagined me as 47, me as 4 years old, and me as a fifth dimensional being behind the couch having a powwow, you know, three aspects of me sharing wisdom and garnishing wisdom in the 47-year-old, in the 4-year-old, and in the fifth dimension. You know, we all, that, you know, there's no planning to it. There's just, I mean, Janine beautifully said one day, you know, why don't you connect with your 4-year-old? You can write her a letter. I mean, I basically just heard, just communicate with her. And it's like, oh, you know what? That's brilliant, because from a timeline perspective, she still exists. You know, it's all happening now. And I just connected all of it. And I just know that there was a level of clarity, or not a level of clarity only. It was a level of, I don't even want to call it forgiveness. I just know my frequency raised because
well, I think
of the
like
work that I just...
Understanding.
Understanding, there you go. Yeah. I mean, because it's... And I think once you understand, then... I don't think I know. See, once you have understanding in your cells, because it's my cells that felt... It wasn't just my head feeling grateful for being with Scott. My whole physical being... I'm very emotional today. I'm very emotional. I mean, when Anya told me she was buying me the thing, I mean, I'm telling you, I was like, like 4-year-old Cindy came out and just bawled in front of her, and you know, and she's like, "Don't cry," and I'm like, "No, I'm crying because I'm so happy," and you know, it was the same feeling I had today with the hairdresser, with Scott, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, how awesome, you know, to have a rejuvenated sense of just a deep respect and a deep love for the man who's helping me do accomplish this. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and as well as a deep respect for you, a deep respect for, you know, you end up, once you're in that land of gratitude, you're grateful with everybody. I mean, my dad, we had a great conversation today, and it was just so interesting. Initially in the morning, it was like, God, I got a lot to do. I got to see if I can fill it all in. And then it was beautiful, right, because I had to get the car seat in my car to pick up Sahana from school. So I was, you know, I was like literally working the brain going, okay, listen, you don't want to do that with wet nails. And I was so stoked that I had gotten that hit of clarity before I got my nails done. Because you just, if anybody knows, installing car seats, if your nails are wet, you're screwed. I mean, you're definitely going to screw up the nail. So, and then once I had her in my vision, so to speak. It was like, you know what? Me and Sahana play spa, and Anya for that matter. We play spa all the time, though, but Sahana loves getting her nails done. And she has shown me that Wani takes her to the nail salon, you know, all the time with her when she's going. I'm going, I'm going to gift Sahana with getting her nails done today. I picked her up from school, and I go, I got a surprise. And she's like, why? And I go, want to go to the salon and get your nails done? Yeah! I mean, like, she lit up, and it was like, you know, the car seat was in. It was just like, oh, my God. Like, it was just, I mean, it was $5 to get her nails done, and she just, the teacher put her in the car for me, she goes, she has been talking all day. My nanny is coming. I am so excited. My nanny is coming. Yeah, I was like, you know, it's like, it's just such a dance of there's a perfection in all of this. It's a perfection. I mean, you sending me the sun picture, perfect. Anya picking the cup of mystery, perfect. You know, Sahana coming with me. I mean, I'm getting my nails done for the party, but when we were at that nail salon, it was all about me and Sahana having a good time. I mean, the party had nothing to do with it. It's about me and Sahana having a great time.
By the way, the cup is the cup of love and mystery.
Oh, I did not know that. Right on. Right on. Well, and isn't the most mysterious thing in the universe love, clearly?
Yeah, that's for sure. Aren't we always learning about that one? But, you know, what's so perfect about, you know, because we spoke this morning and, you know, what's amazing is when you're in a process, when you've allowed a process to come up, when you've dealt, you know, you dealt with it, and then, you know, it's kind of an ongoing thing. But then, and I know that, you know, there were times since that day where you were activated and still feeling kind of whatever. But what I love is that it's so unpredictable that once you connect with that, you know, what you did that with little Cindy, and today was spontaneous and unpredictable, but you know, and I love that because that's the organicness of it. I don't know, and that's the mystery of it, you know, and so, because now you're surprising me because I didn't know about this, you know, wonderful day where you were feeling such gratitude for your relationship with Scott. And it's like, I'm getting to hear it now. And it's really, I feel rewarded because it's like, I don't know, it's sort of the gift that just keeps on giving, you know? I'm surprised now. I mean, you know, no, it's so great because I get to witness how incredible these integrations, these, you know, understanding this, it just, because it's, you know, it's happening for me, it's been happening for me, there's this synchronicity going on, there's a trusting going on, there's, you know, and it's, but what's amazing is, it's such the opposite of control of anything, because it's not controlled, it's just an unfolding,
but we have to be part of the unfolding. So, you know, so I'm loving hearing this. You know,
Janine, your ability to express the subtle and you know, the whole building blocks of this experience, I'm telling you, you are the, like, one of the greatest gifts for me in radio is Janine Kimmel, truly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You make radio for me. I mean, I've always loved sharing, but I've never felt so inexplicably understood as I do since you've partnered. I mean, because I want to be understood. I speak a language that in my head is, you know, it's schizo and it's, you know, scattered and it's circular. It's not linear. And
yeah, but none of the imagination isn't, you know, and so that's, you know, people say that to me. They're like, oh, sorry, I'm all over the place. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm right with you. That's not how it works. It doesn't work, you know, so, you know, that's flexibility, that's dancing, that's like jazz, you know. So no, that's the way it works, and that's the organic, you know. There's no like checklist or anything. I hear you. Yeah.
But believe me, you're a unique bird, my friend. You are a unique bird, and it's just. The blessing came when I asked you, didn't even know it, but when I asked you to do Mastermind, which inevitably led to doing the show, I'm, you know, as my sixth anniversary, I see nothing but, you know, just exquisiteness, because, you know, my whole goal has always been share the process. I'm happy to share my own personal process. I have never in my life been so transparent. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm not saying you guys don't get 100% of Golden Hawk, but it's not because I'm ashamed or I'm hiding.
Right.
There's a part of me that also likes, you know, there's a private part of me as well, which is interesting because That comes from infinite trust, not from hiding. It's so funny how actions inherently are not right or wrong. It's the motivation behind the action that would make it kind of the flavor be a little sour, or the flavor be a little bitter, you know, or the flavor being, you know, virtuous and the flavor being fluid. It's not what we're doing, it's why we're doing it. Because, I mean, I clearly remember the first time I ever did a radio show with Greg Norman in Providence, Rhode Island. I was crying on the air. This was actually on Greg's show because I was petrified that he was going to ask me about my past, my drugs, my sexual experiences, all of that stuff. I was petrified that, you know, I would have to reveal myself, because one of the things he requested of me before I came on the show was I had to kind of, you know, not literally, but I had to sign the, you got to be willing to talk about anything, otherwise I won't have you on the show. You know, and I was like, it was, you know, it was really boot camp. I mean, it was definitely, there was some therapy because Greg never went anywhere. You know, he didn't say, so tell me about your drug issues. You know, he would ask me stuff, and it was interesting because the first time I ever came on the air, the first things I did talk about, and he would ask me about things that were challenging for me, but I would go back to when I was 18. You know, purposely, you know, like, he asked me about something, and I talked about when I worked at the bank when I was 18. You know, it's like, I was clearly not ready to be present, to be transparent. And I can honestly tell you, 6 years later, I am. And I won't tell you why I don't do it. I'll tell you why I do it. I do it because I really believe the power in the the transparency is literally the equal to being infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's above me. No one can hold something over my head when I have no secrets. I can't be blackmailed. I can't be bullied. You can't even laugh at me and humiliate me if I've already put it out there and said, listen, I humbly admit, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at myself. If I'm laughing at myself, you can't hurt me by laughing at me. You can't hurt me by telling me I'm no good. You can't hurt me at all, because in my sharing of it by choice, I've already started to overcome it. I mean, I can't tell that. That is my experience of being on the air, and I hope that principle is felt and enjoyed and experienced by everybody who's ever heard a show I've done. Because I think it's a huge. I don't want to even call it a tool. It's an awareness, and it's an awareness. Go ahead.
No, I mean, because it's a gift you're giving to the listener, but what on a personal level as well, when there's no way that we can grow and mature and into wholeness when we're still attached to the need to looking good. And,
right on.
I learned that one because I'm sure I wasn't even aware of it, but it might have been 18 years ago, but you have to let go of that because, the best way to do it is to reveal yourself. And if you're not going to reveal yourself, to have an exquisite teacher call you on it, which is,
exactly. Right on.
And go willingly, though, because the only reason you put yourself in that position is because you want to be called on it. Because
that's exactly right.
Yeah, because you're not
exactly
going to grow if you're hiding and you're attached to looking good, because who cares anyway, And
who cares?
Right, and that's the whole, when you and I, we are very, we're affectionate about this, but I'm very serious and so are you, that is truly when I talk about the hot kitchen. It's come on, it's like, get in the heat. It's, reveal yourself, show all your, your quote ugly parts, because this mm-hmm. is the way you grow. And that is the way that, the beast turns to beauty. That's the beauty
right.
and the beast story. It's the,
right.
Yeah, it's right. it's that. Yeah, so it is. That's the transformation. That's where the revealing of those parts of us that we're afraid to reveal. When you do, you start to, you start to change. You become, it's like who did you tell me loved the tiger? Was that Anya?
Anya. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that tiger in my book, The Magic Gown, was a very hideous, nasty creature who once touched the magic gown, transformed into this beautiful, beautiful tiger of wisdom. And the magic gown always was a symbol of, just the deep feminine revealing your deepest parts of yourself, and in that is transformation,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm such a big promoter of that, and that's the gift you give people, because you are willing to share yourself in such a transparent and honest way. And it's interesting too, because when that triggers people, because I'm sure there are people that have been triggered by that by you, that's an indication that they have some revealing work to do.
right. Yeah, well, right on.
Because anytime we get triggered by another person, we've just gone to the mirror and we're like, okay.
Exactly. That's our medicine. Our triggers
it's our medicine.
Are our medicine.
So
exactly.
I'm sure you've helped a lot of people that way, because that's it. That's I'm telling you, that's the turning point. When I had to confront the need to look good, which was really from my perspective, I'll just say from a place of immaturity, you know, I had a lot to learn. And it was great, but I put myself in the position to be called on it if I wasn't revealing myself. And, you know, a teacher who knows the truth and knows authenticity can really sniff that out. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, we're bloodhounds for that stuff.
So it's like, hey, come on, you know, reveal yourself.
Well, and it takes a journey to get to know yourself. Oh, my God. If there was ever a valuable journey to take, the journey to self. I mean, truly, if it's a MasterCard commercial, it's priceless, people. It is priceless to know yourself. It's a game changer. It's the difference between the agony of being on this planet with all of the, you know, all of the darkness being revealed right now and everything that's going on. It's the difference between looking at that through the eyes of pain and suffering to transformation, looking at it as through the eyes, literally. And when I say looking at it, I mean physically feeling compassion for the Illuminati and physically feeling compassion for, you know, the slaughterhouse people who are, you know, killing and murdering and totally mistreating our animals. Because the truth of it is we are all everything. We really are. In this dimension, you can't just be the light. That is just, you know, and I get that I lose a lot of listeners in that whole let's take responsibility for this journey. Because I get it, there are people that, I mean, shucks, there's people in my own, you know, physical blood family that clearly don't want to be responsible for their choices. Okay. But if you are ready, if you feel that you're, because it's unbelievable strength to integrate on this journey right now. Unbelievable strength. And the beautiful thing is you don't need a parent or a government or a spouse or a star, and when I mean a star, meaning, you know, somebody famous, to tell you how amazing you are when you integrate on this journey. You, yourself, will go, God damn, I'm amazing. Because the integrating itself takes such courage, such strength, and the ultimate gift, of course, beyond the fact that you've integrated it, is to know that you can do it. That there's nothing that's telling you you can't become whole, unified, and at peace. Nothing. It's not about education. It's not about finances. It's not your gender, your race. All of that is an illusion. It really is just the truth of, you know, the desire and the sheer tenacity to go, okay, I'm ready to know myself. I'm ready to know all of me, because when you do commit to it, you'll see there's no turning back, and you'll want to, and yet again, I mean, I've wanted to turn back, but I'll be honest with you, for me personally, no, I haven't. It's been challenging, hell yeah, I have shed so many tears, and screamed, and punched, you know, pillows, and I don't punch trees or walls, because personally I think if you're going to punch something soft. That's just my humble opinion. But it's so funny. The darkest part of my journey was truly because nobody told me truly what integration was. I seemed to kind of figure this out. And then once I figured it out, then I had people confirming it. But nobody told me when I was spending those nights in when I lived alone in Bridgeport, screaming and crying of the pain of loneliness, that I was actually raising my frequency at that point, which is exactly what you're doing if you're allowing yourself to feel the pain and you're not doing anything to stop it.
Yeah.
And it's the same exact thing I did when my mom died. The pain I felt from her death, which was when I lived in Bridgeport, I intentionally did it without drugs, without no coke, no alcohol. I was definitely still having sex, but not as often as I was prior. But it was sober. You know, I knew I have to go through this pain sober because it's the only way I'll know that it's really healed. If I mask it in any way with any kind of drug or alcohol, I won't know when it's really healed. And it was so important for me. I just wanted to know when it was going to be okay to think about my mother and to feel my mother without feeling this incredible black hole in my being. And that's exactly how it felt. And, you know, the frequency. And of course, you know, what you start realizing is what you can live through and how much strength you got. And, you know, and then when, you know, when everybody's running around saying the sky is falling, you know, it's almost like you break out a lawn chair. You know, go ahead, let it fall, man. Let it fall. We're in May. Who cares? Who cares? It's all, if the sky is falling, there's nothing to worry about. It. And if it's going to hit you and kill you, okay, then it's going to hit you and kill you. Why would you worry about it? There's nothing you can do to change it. Nothing. So just, you know, look at it. Go, hey, here it comes. Poof, you're gone. Like, I mean, it just seems so, I think what I'm, it's the liberation from the agenda, you know, this whole mind control agenda, that's the journey I'm on, that's the journey Janine's on, that's pretty much the journey. I haven't been on it this whole time consciously because, like I said, you know, shucks, just last year I was building Merkabahs and, you know, trying to mentally construct this whole gig, and you know, I'm done with that now. And you know, from my sixth anniversary on, this is a journey about, you know, not making excuses. Now, why would I want to make excuses? I'm not ashamed to say I'm going through this journey, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I've got issues and I'm integrating them. And you know, I fart, I pick my nose, I fall down. I'm just a human being, but not just a human being. I'm a human being that, I mean, at this point, I mean, I have the confidence to tell you, I am a human being who is ascending. And, you know, I can tell you how to do it without, it's at low cost. It's a low budget way to do it. It's incredibly effective, and it works. You know, which is ultimately what all the energy I was doing, spending, building Merkabahs. We spend a lot of energy kind of distracting ourselves from the very simplistic aspect of what's needed. Just allow and accept.
Yeah.
Just allow and accept. That's, I mean, like, you know, it sounds simple, but, it, you know, it's really quite powerful.
It sounds
stuff.
Simple, but, you know, those nights in Bridgeport crying and feeling that anguish.
Literally,
you know,
yes, good word.
Yeah, yeah. But those are kinds of deaths to me, you know, that are really necessary when, you know, I mean, and they're not necessary if someone goes, well, okay, I'm going to do that, you know, and almost like you can't make that stuff up. That stuff is there and it's in you. But that you know, I mean, I'll think back to those times of feeling such, you know, distraught and angst and anguish, and you know, it was fear, and it was necessary to ride that out, ride that storm, you know, feel it.
Yeah.
It's like not stuff it, feel it. And
yes.
I couldn't
yes.
be here today if I hadn't done that. And, you know, that's just if that stuff exists for you, you got to feel it, you got to go through it and come out, you know, and then, you know, each time, because I think there's many deaths like that, you know, but each time, like you said, when the sky starts falling, you're like, So, you know, it just doesn't have the same, it just doesn't have the same, like, intensity. It just doesn't.
It doesn't.
You know?
It doesn't.
It just, you can't, you couldn't even fake it if you had to, you know? It just doesn't
exist. That's exactly right.
It's cellularly gone. And so, but it is a process, and you know, I like
to, yes, Billy Bean.
You know, it's fun because the show I like has a bit of a retrospective, which is fun for me because you're going back to the 6 years, and but you know, we're also going back and kind of reflecting on where we were at times. For me, even, I'm going back, and then here right. we are now, and it just feels very alive, awake, and current, like very current, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and
because and I think it really is when you say current. I mean, what did we just talk about recently with the currency? Remember we were talking about it. It was like we had a conversation recently, and it was like, "What is it?" I was like, "It's currency." We were talking about
it was
something
like
about
currency.
Money or something.
I'll think of it. I remember.
Okay, because I want to talk about that on the show. I'm sorry I didn't write it down.
Crazy one. Currency. But you know what's interesting? Because you know, just today, you know, I always say the little is big, and just today with the multiple surprises and, you know, down to even realizing to put the seed in before you got your nails done. And, you know, that stuff isn't little to me because there's something when it's just sort of when you feel the stuff clicking and then you get the surprises of the gifts and from a little girl that, you know, she was so delighted and it's so beautiful. And then then I'm hearing the story going, "Ooh, good. Now I get to tell her she got the sun print for me," you know, and those kinds of things are just amazing to me. And you know, I don't know. I'm just looking at it all and noticing how you and I, in the last 2 weeks, have both had a dream where we had a son in our dream that was organic, and it was our son. And it just amazes me that, you know, that's not to be taken lightly, because there's something there. And you know, I don't have to figure it out per se, because I don't need to think this, because, but I can't help but notice it, and it definitely has meaning. And you know, and there's just something about the process and the appearance of these sons, and I'm like, wow.
Thought the son, you know, was because, you know, they're portals.
Yeah, and then that elderly man that you got a Facebook that an elderly man in his meditation, who was 82 or something, had done. So yeah, it's just
Turn freely said. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just something to be noticed. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not only that. I mean, it's like, exactly that. You know, in other words. First of all, you know, most of the people that are listening to my show, this show or our show on Monday, I mean, Norway, Greece, Costa Rica, Israel, Italy. You know, I'm cracking up going, I remember when I was at Providence, when I first started doing radio, it's like, you know, when I was looking, you know, actively looking for a sponsor, I was like, you know, I got to hit the local audience because, you know, it would be clear if somebody was going to sponsor me, they would have to, you know, I was actually on, you know, what they call terrestrial radio, which means when people were in their cars, I was on the computer, but I was actually on the radio. So, you know, in order to be heard, you would have to live in the Providence, basically the Rhode Island area. And, you know, since letting all of that go, you know, where it's no longer, you know, I mean, it was a part of, for me, I can honestly tell you, there are two things I let go about being in the radio. one was making any money off of it, because I don't care about the money. I mean, if money were to come, that's fine, but I don't even care about the money.
Yeah.
And the second thing is the ego. I can definitely tell you, my head was, when I used to walk in a room of any kind, it'd be like, Golden Hawk, radio show host. and I loved it because I clearly saw that the people with techniques needed someplace to sell it, and I had the platform to give it to them. I mean, it was love at first sight with, like, just about everybody. Because
yeah.
I basically had a platform, but, you know, but in all honesty, there was no really getting to know those people. It was my ego met their ego. You know, we hooked up in the fourth dimension, and, you know, ad nauseum, we're just selling our shit. You know, me selling my show, them selling. And I'm just saying, that's my point of view. I won't speak for my guests, but I was not soulful for, gosh, a good part of the many years that, you know, I've been doing this show. But what's so interesting is now that I am, the show takes on, it's so fascinating who I'm attracting. You know, and how I'm attracted. You know, it's like, because the show really, I mean, I get done with shows now, and when I hang up the phone, you know, me and Janine usually talk after our shows, and after our talk, I'll hang up the show, and I mean, there's something deep inside me that's like, wow, that was, you know, an experience. You know, it's not a show anymore. You know, it's like watching something that you just intuitively and instinctually know is changing my life, and I know if it's changing my life, it's got to be affecting others as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes it to a whole new level of purpose and a whole new level of the experience.
Yeah, it's the authentic and, like you said, the soul, because the basis and the intention has shifted, and it's you can feel it. You know, I mean, I can feel it with every show, and you know, I was just so drawn to say yes, and even hoping and knowing it would be a challenge, and yet I feel that there's an acceleration in almost like remember what I said to you about the tipping point where it's like the floodgates open more because of the allowance of doing something so spontaneously and so, I don't know, just so current. There's no, you know, we're just here and we're sharing an experience, and it's amazing to think back that, you know, 6 years ago, and then today we're talking about shared sun dreams, and I don't know, and being spontaneous, and just talking to people all over the world,
who they're
like little jewels, little jewels all over,
little
you know,
treasure
that's all,
right. Well, and you know what I'm realizing actually, and I say realizing because I am physically feeling more of life than I ever have in my life. Now, I shouldn't say that. As a small child, all my senses were wide open. I was, you know, that was one of the things I got in the conversation behind the couch, that, God, everything I'm trying to get back through Merkaba work and all the integration work that I'm doing now is basically back to just where I was when I first was a little girl. And for many, many, many years and moons, I have been closed off from the vertical aspect of life, the space where I am able to feel. And what is so clear to me as we're having this conversation is my ability to feel has more depth. I can feel deeper. I not only can I am feeling deeper, which is ironic because it allows me, you know, I set the intention, me and Janine both kind of set an intention a few weeks ago that we wanted to have an understanding about, you know, people that maybe work at a slaughterhouse or, you know, people who do unconscious acts. We wanted to find an awareness and an understanding so it didn't, you know, make us sick, basically. And that comes from...
Plus realizing that there's an aspect of ourselves in them which is important, you know, to know, right? Because...
Totally.
Yeah, because if you're going to... If you're exploring yourself and all those pockets and, you know, if you're... And if you even can approach the unconditional love, you cannot avoid these things. They're just, or you're going into bias and you're going into selective unconditional love, which isn't really, you know, that's like kind of contrary. So
it's conditional love. It's not unconditional.
Yeah, that is, yeah. So we were talking about that because we ended up, well, what's so great about that was, the gift of exploring that place, which both of us were like, ugh. But, you know, the gift of exploring that place, if I remember correctly, was we ended up with your little four-year-old
with little Cindy
behind the couch.
Yeah.
You never know where these signposts will take you. So it always pays to follow them because, you know, I would never have guessed that talking about the difficultness of loving or even entertaining loving or understanding that behavior of being cruel, I could never have guessed that next thing you know, we'd be with you behind the couch as the four-year-old little girl, you know, really looking into what was, you know, did you leave any aspect of yourself there? Which, of course, So, you know, I mean, that's the organic, unpredictable part of life that is constantly presenting itself if you let it. But you can't, you know, the beautiful thing is you can't fake it. It just won't let you.
Well, you can fake it, but you don't get the results. You're not going to get the cellular experience, right?
It won't be cellular. It won't be cellular.
Words don't make it so. Cells make it so.
Yeah.
When you feel it in every cell of your being, it's so. I mean, and that was exactly what I was feeling towards Scott today with the gratitude was in my toes and my thighs and my arms and my belly and, you know, it was everywhere. It was a full body experience.
Mm.
And that's what it was like, you know, and I was like, because Saturday night I'm having four couples over to my house for my birthday. We're having a dinner party. I'm really excited about this. And, Alana, when she calls in, if she calls in, and if she doesn't, it's all good. But she knows, like I was saying earlier, I love my birthday. I have had shamans do shamanic work. I have had radio shows and, you know, 50 people in my living room after a show on my birthday. You know, it's clear I've incorporated it, you know, into my, it's a time for me to celebrate. I absolutely adore my birthday and celebrating it and creating an atmosphere where others can, you know, share that joy with me. And it's interesting because, you know, this year it takes on a different hue, you know, H-U-E, a different tone.
Yeah, yeah.
When, you know, when you're doing this deep integrational work, this is not, you know, I totally understand. I've had plenty of birthdays, prior to me having the radio show, where crying my eyes out, being stood up, totally being alone, being in another state being stood up. I was stood up in Florida once. I mean, because I was just chasing it. I was chasing so hard. I didn't want to be alone for my birthday. I don't want to be alone for my birthday. I can't be alone for my birthday. My birthday, Halloween, or New Year's Eve, it used to be like, you know, that was the game. I had to have a date, and then I would get dates and go, I'd be looking at my watch going, when the hell is this date going to be over? I'm miserable. You know, And it's like until I just sat and accepted and cried and, you know, then it all shifted. But so I understand that it's not always about an outward celebration. When you're doing this inner work, yet what's really interesting is for the first time in my life, I mean, everybody coming over is a couple, including me. Today, you know, there was a trepidation for me because the integration work that I've been doing leading into the party, I'm going, you know, shit, how is this going to work if, you know, I'm feeling a friction with Scott and we've got, you know, four other couples coming over, you know, it's important for me to be, you know, I always want, my desire is always to be, from, and I know this from hosting parties, I set the tone. I clearly don't want to set the tone of, you know, I'm pissed off at my man when I got three other, or four other couples coming over. And but I surrendered to it. I just went, well, you know, I'm not going to cancel the party. I'm not going to do anything. Just continue to let life happen. And it's like, you know, my soul is kind of, it almost feel like it's chuckling behind me going, you think we're going to let you have the party and not be mad in love with your man? You know, like, you're doing the work, babe. Trust that in the 11th hour, if it's, you're going to be fine, and by when the clock strikes 12, you're going to nail it. Because this seems to be the game plan of everything the soul has ever shown me, ever. Mm-hmm. It just, as long as I trust and surrender, that when the clock strikes 12, I'm good. I'm good. Even though 11:59, I could be, you know, in total chaos, you know, swirling and twirling. But when the clock's, and this is when I do the work. I don't make any promises about the 12, the clock striking 12. If you're in denial or you're distracting yourself, okay, that's a totally different timeline. But in my humble opinion, our souls have our backs, and do the work, and really you'll see consistency of when it comes down to it, all will be well. And you, the like you were saying earlier, let go of the control, because the fluidity of the perfection of life is hands down an intelligence that trumps our little brains. It just trumps us, hands down. So, you know, I was, you know, like, I'm really stoked. I'm stoked for, you know, people who have never met Scott before, who, you know, have you know me throughout the 4 years that we've been all over the place with each other, like Alana, and, you know, new people in my life like Punky and her husband. I'm just excited. You know, I'm excited. And, like, my girlfriend Janet's coming over, who lives around the corner, and I can, you know, the people are just like, I'm so excited to celebrate with you and to meet your man. And, you know, it's like, wow, these are part of what I call the Disney dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I had as a, you know, like when I was 8 years old, me and Heidi Roberto and Ursula Cochi used to sit in this fort we made, and, you know, it was in the backwoods of Heidi's house, and go, and we're going to live next door to each other, and our husbands are all going to be friends. You know, remember those conversations?
Yeah.
You know, as a little kid that, you know, we're all going to, you know, do the same, you know, we'll go to PTA meetings together. Or, you know, of course, we were all going to bars and strip clubs and, you know, wherever the hell we were going. But, I mean, it's tweaking those dreams I had as a kid.
It's, I like what? It. It's a good story.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because, yeah, it's an actuality.
I
because
know.
For so long I tried to get those
that's
dreams.
Why it's so good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And when I finally surrender, they're coming up, I mean, so auspiciously. And, you know, because once again, I can already tell my birthday will be a big day. For me, from a soul level, but for me, from a social level,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, in a partnership level, you know, and I love the idea that, you know, you're going to be with, you know, your guru, sort of, not your guru, but, you know, a teacher you respect, And from the simple fact of, because there will be an intensity in both of our lives, which, you know, the congruency between me and you is just remarkable to me. It is remarkable how parallel we are. Because I used to have that with my eighth grade best friends. You know, when I was in eighth grade, you know, we would dress alike but not plan it. Sometimes we'd plan it, but sometimes we wouldn't go, oh, look, we wore the same shirt. And, you know, and me and you are doing this, you know, obviously on quite a deeper level than just wearing the same clothes. I mean, we're literally paralleling soulful experiences, which, you know, again, from my perspective, these are the dreams coming true for me. This is...
Exactly.
You know, it's just amazing. It's magical.
That's
right. It's mystical. It's another reality.
Yeah. No, that's the dreams coming true, which is, you know, yeah, that's how I feel. And, you know, and I've worked for it, you know? I mean,
yeah.
That's it,
yeah.
You know? I remember what I said to you the other day, and you laughed when I said, don't leave any stone unturned. You got to look under everything and, you know, keep going. And but it does seem like the magic and the dreams do come true in an authentic and soulful way when you do that, you know. So those six stones over there, I'm not going to touch those. You know,
you don't get the gifts if you don't touch them.
Want to flip over.
Exactly. Well, and again, it's a level of trust in yourself. You know, I can't emphasize enough that when you're flipping the stones, when you're not holding secrets, when you're living authentically, there is not another energy above self.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you're actually in the physical body living the presence of the eternal self.
Well, see, that's
because
a really good point.
You know, and because if you can face your darkest hours and your biggest fears, the only thing another entity has to manipulate over you is fear. So if you face those fears, and I say this coming from a space of having... You know, and Janine knows from a personal level how afraid I was that I was not going to ascend because, you know, some sort of reptilian being was going to, was going to dupe me to get on a spaceship or whatever, make me take a different route. And I had no idea that just by facing third dimensional fears, I was conquering multidimensional fears.
Mm.
You know, but hey, as above, so below, as within, so without, you know. Because my biggest fear used to be, you know, I can't see the multi, I don't have clairvoyance. I don't see per se. I mean, in my dream time I do, but, or if I, when I was holosyncing I did, but on average, I don't see multidimensional things. And in the inability to see, that used to be my fear, like, well, if I can't see you, clearly, you can fuck with me. I mean, like, I can't see you.
Yeah.
But you know what? They can only mess with us if we're afraid, because I've seen it on, like, the Ghost Whisperer. You know, I mean, she can see, which, of course, helps, but the truth is she shows no fear. They can't manipulate us if we're not manipulatable. Because inevitably she's like, listen, let me help you get into the light. I mean, and these are ghosts that are literally throwing things all over the, all over the room and stuff. And because that was where it was first taught to me, you know, just through these TV shows that I watch. It's like, now again, like I said, she can see. So I always felt like she had an advantage over me. But the advantage that I give myself is if I address my fears, nobody can get me through fear. And I had no idea at the time when I started this how important that is. None. I had no idea.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it kind of reminds me of what Bill Wood said when all of a sudden he goes, no, there is only one timeline. It's fallacy
exactly.
That there's any other timeline. So when you said, and that popped into my head because when you said there is nothing stronger than self. It's like the illusion is that there is, but there isn't.
Right, exactly. Right on.
That reinforces to me this whole idea that there really is only one timeline. Like everything else
right.
is just some sort of fabricated manipulation, you know. To, yeah, and then you really start to see that and go, oh, you know, and you do start living it and you do start feeling it mostly.
Yes.
You know, and that's a really powerful point, you know, of, and once again, you can really only arrive at that understanding sensation in your body and live it when it, like something flips. The switch flips or something, you know.
Well, I think it's the flip is the conscious choice to not run from your fear, but to actually
right.
consciously
right.
go into it. Because, you know, I get that people get their lessons, you know, that saying when they say, you know, your soul will whisper, your soul will talk, your soul will scream, and then your soul will take a brick to your forehead and just nail you.
Yeah.
You know, like, in other words,
yeah.
the soul's patient enough because the soul knows of its own eternity. But I'm not quite sure. Well, I would imagine, I guess, you can still have a potential to face the fear when it's a brick to your head. But if you work the subtle, you know, it's like, here's the bottom line. I was reading somewhere, I shouldn't even say that because I never know who – I don't remember anything these days. I don't remember names or – but I was reading in one of the Spirit Library channelings that said – I think it was Tiburon, a channeler from Tiburon. Anyways, he was talking about how the body was going to potentially give us scares that would be ancestral scares. And the thing that I went to is my little bump. You know, my mom basically, right, she had breast cancer. So I get a bump on my breast. It's clearly the potential has just been created to have a scare of, you know, you're going to fall into the whole, oh, this is hereditary. My mother died of breast cancer. Well, what's the poison they give you? Chemotherapy.
Oh, chemotherapy, yeah.
She didn't die of cancer. The wall of her heart collapsed from too much chemotherapy. I want that to be clear. Yes, I hear you, Ma. And what ended up, you know, so I went one day and said, all right, let's play in this total fear and, you know, spun around my, you know, Scott's house going, I'm going to die of cancer. And then went, okay, now what are you going to do with this, Goldie? What are you going to do with this? It's like, you're not going to do shit with this. I'm not going to run to the hospital. I'm just going to sit with it. And just like little Cindy, I went, all right, come on. Come to the table. What do you want me to know? You know, and there was definitely, you know, what do I want to know? The potential of what this little bump was like, I want you to know, A, that you're not your mother, which was exactly what little Cindy was telling me as well. And the other thing was, you know, I can go away or I can stay. It's your call.
Yeah.
You know, I could have turned this through worry into cancer easily. I mean, we are powerful, powerful beings. Or I could just basically say, all right, let's, you know, I was prepping. I had people prepared to hold my hand, you know, and I, you know, started looking at my body from a different perspective going, okay, listen, you know, you don't shower every day, but maybe you need to wash the folds of your skin every day because you sweat and I do wear essential oils and, you know, oils in general. It's like, you know, I just started becoming more consciously aware of sweat glands and, you know, just my body and my awareness. And it was like, you know, within a month, it was gone. And, you know, does it surprise me? No. Because I also had a black mark on the back of my ankle, which was where my mom's first cancer showed up. She had skin cancer removed out of the back of her ankle. And,
wow.
You know, Scott noticed it. You know, he noticed the black dot. And I went, all right, so. There it is. You know, I just, I just, and this was a while ago, this was about a year ago, and I mean, it's still there, and I keep an eye on it because, you know, if it starts changing color, shape, or size, texture, those are, you know, telltale signs, quote unquote, it's alive, you know, meaning it's current. It hasn't, you know, and these are all the spots my mom had cancer. And, you know, so, you know, am I my mother? No.
Yeah.
No. And are you your mother? No. And is Susan her mother? No. You know, is any of us listening? You know, is Simon his mother? No. Hi, Kev. I see you, baby. you know, so, but what's important for us, and it's not that we don't want to love our heritage, but we have the potential that, you know, the acorn can roll from the tree and be a, you know, and plant itself maybe in a different garden. You know, that saying, the acorn don't roll far from the tree. Mm-hmm. You know, Bruce Lipton, his work is remarkable on that whole subject, that we are not, our DNA is mutable, totally mutable.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's huge to know. So even if something has the potential of being cancer, through conscious awareness, it doesn't have to be. And again, the conscious awareness was simple acceptance. For me, acceptance and a little soap and water. It's like, you know, it's amazing with the simple panacea of acceptance and allowance of whatever is, and then make your choices, you know, through the communication of yourself and getting to know yourself. Because I think it's also about, you know, how many of us ignore our bodies? You know, I hear people saying all the time, you know, they'll say it unconsciously, God, my body wants to rest. And I'll be like, so rest it. Hello? You know, what do you mean your body wants to rest and you're trumping it with your mind? In my humble opinion, that's deadly. That's deadly to trump your body with your brain. Because your brain really doesn't, it's not about the health. Not at all. Your body's about the health. Your brain isn't. Your brain is all about, you know, the drama. And usually drama doesn't come with health. It comes with lack of health.
Yeah. I'm thinking that there's something that happens when you start dropping the belief systems that held us in these old paradigms, which, of course, the thing you just said about what's his first name? Lipton?
Bruce Lipton. Yeah.
Yes, Bruce Lipton. That's right. That's like transmutation. It really is. You're able to change it and shift it. And, you know, it's
totally.
Once again, you know, that chicken and the egg thing. It's like, you know, but the willingness to drop belief systems, you know, very simplistic example, it would be the world was flat. And because I was just thinking about that today going, things are so rapidly changing in terms of what actually is now, you know, a new reality or the possibilities or the old paradigm seems so ridiculous. But, you know, just as simple as the people used to think the world was flat, that's how where we are in a whole nother way of what we thought isn't. And so these concepts to me and how we don't have to be, you know, carriers of the memory of, oh, we get diseases and, oh, we must, this is, you know, these are just.
Well, I just got to interrupt because here's the disease. Here's the antiquated belief system around diseases. My doctor will make me better.
Right.
It is time to wake up, people. Doctors are not going to make us better. Now, I'm not saying they don't assist us, but ultimately, if you're not looking to make yourself better, then you're not getting better.
Well, that reminds me of what we were saying Tuesday afternoon. That belief system, like so many, just seems like the wiring
out on the street that seems so ridiculously antiquated to me. You know,
exactly.
It's just so antiquated. It's such a, it's like a thought that used to fit for maybe about, you know, a few years, when in fact you've completely outgrown those thoughts.
Right.
We've completely outgrown those thoughts, and yet not everybody, including, you know, the mass, has caught up with it. And yet we're
right.
really on the verge of the world is not flat, you know, and this is part
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is
so,
very much a part of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm feeling that a lot. And as you're talking, it's, you know, it's just like really... And I guess
it's a great awareness to bring up, though, babe. It's great awareness because it is literally at the same level as waking up from the earth being flat is what we are waking up to right now. It's just
the
more
paradigm.
Personal. It's the same paradigm.
It's that outrageous.
Exactly. It is that outrageous. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why,
I mean,
that's why I love talking about emptying the cup, because the more you empty the cup, the more new the world is not flat anymore comes in. You know, it's a funny thing how, and it has nothing to do with the, oh, don't you want to be a positive person, the full cup? No, 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 we're not talking about that anymore. This is this is about allowing.
All right, this is empty. This is about the mind being the cup and the brain being the cup. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yes, very good.
Is,
yes.
Right. So,
right on.
But
right on.
But that is, like, for me, one of the most powerful things going on right now from my understanding. And, you know, just when you think you're like, oh, yeah, just when you think you have it, it's like, oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg, you know. So
just the tip
it's
of
a
the
very
iceberg.
Exciting
that's
time.
Exactly. It is.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was interesting because – one of the things David Wilcock said in the second video, I'll post the first one. There's four of them. I sent one to Janine today. But the second thing he said, which was very interesting, is that geologists have been studying species and the adaptation through, like, you know, millenniums, you know, through certain periods, like the dinosaur period, I don't remember the words, cetacean or creation, or there's just like, there's different, like 64 million years are like the blocks of time that he was talking about. And what he said was, he goes, there's an interesting thing that happens, I think it's every 24 I think it's 24 million years, maybe 24,000 years, one or the other. But what was interesting was he goes, okay, so let's say there's a crab. And the way the crab is initially there's flesh, and then through the 24 million years, I'm just going to use million for now, it grows a skeleton outside of it. So in other words, you know, it's changing its being. It's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a certain point in the 24 million years where when the next cycle starts, instantly the being changes and the skeleton's now on the inside of the it happens literally overnight. Evolution, when it finally catches, is happens very rapidly.
Wow.
And I'm going,
that's pretty amazing.
It's very amazing, because I went, so that would totally be in congruency with that, you know, we're doing all the work, you know, we're integrating, we're nurturing the inside, not the outside, you know, we're focusing on the inside. And so in like a moment when it's time, you know, everything we focused on in the light is we become light bodies. You know, we become beings of light. Homo luminous is basically beings of light. So, and it doesn't happen over, you know, 10, 12, you know, 1,000 years. When it's time, it just happens in a flip. And when you watch the Greg Braden stuff with the water droplet and the frequency, you really do see how, you know, it's chaotic, pop. Okay, now it's a new geometrical shape in a pop.
Wow.
That's a great analogy for how it feels right now, where, you know, it's like it's work, it's work, it's work, boop, and then the flip, and it's like
exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, 'cause I've never heard that before, so.
That was one of the new things. I went, oh, there's something new.
No,
I also
great.
Have never
that's
heard.
So congruent to
exactly. Exactly.
You know, the flipping or this, it's just there. Then it's there, and And I would imagine it's like the news was out where, oh, by the way, the world's not flat; it's round. And it's like what? I mean,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden, you could no longer think in terms of flat. You're now thinking in terms of sphere, and it blows all the thought systems that went along with it. Just keeps going flat, flat, flat. Now it's I could see how that really does. Once it flips, it flips, and there's no going back.
Exactly. No,
you know,
it's a game changer.
Everything
it's
is
a game
altered.
Changer.
Everything is
yes.
altered.
So everything.
Yeah.
Well, because everything is conscious. Nothing's
that's
really
so true.
Separate. It appears separate, but in consciousness, that's the 100th monkey where,
yeah.
you know, when four monkeys get it or whatever the tipping point of the number was, oh, it was 100 monkeys, right. When 100 monkeys got it on one island, it was then throughout all the consciousness of all the monkeys on all the islands, even though they didn't have, you know, cell phones and fax machines. They were all washing their potatoes because that's exactly right. It becomes the isness of what is throughout the entire – because I think it's even more than just the species. I think because we do – you know, George is helping me so understand that, you know, we are literally coming into each other's universe. You know, because he was – you know, he expresses to be one with somebody is not about that we all come from one homogenous God and that we're all going to go back to, and I heard somebody, one of the channelers I heard, you know, actually talking about, oh, and then it's, I think it might have been Kryon, you know, and then we're all going to go back to the oneness and release our identity and everything we've learned is going to go back into the soup of oneness. Okay, my humble opinion, that is the biggest crock of shit out there. Because we're not going back into, we were not birthed from a God. We are God. But the oneness that George speaks of is when we are visiting each other on each other's planets and each other's galaxies and each other's stars, we're literally, like, and let's just use Gaia. So we are literally in Gaia. We are in her energetic field, eating her food, drinking her water, utilizing her energy and her space and her matter. What she is made of, we are made of. The four elements that create all things in the cosmos, we're all made out of the same stuff. Okay, so that's how intimately we are experiencing the being of this universe. But this is not the only universe we're experiencing intimately. I can tell you already, I know I'm in your universe, Janine. And it's a matter of I'm starting to have the capability. My connection is coming on through the soul to now experience me being on your planet is now coming into this physical body as wisdom.
Right.
From the experience of actually experiencing you as a universe. And why? Because my paradigm is opening up that says, I believe that's so. That's the only thing
yeah.
that's getting
yeah.
me there.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. That's
you know, like, no wonder why we can, you know, we're having parallel experiences. You know, our sons are taught. I mean, it's like this is, it just goes hand in hand with, this is the vertical game that as long as we're in our head and our minds, we don't get to, you know. And again, in divine order, you know, okay, we came here to play the game of duality, you know, because ultimately we are eternal beings. When you're eternal beings, the only game in town is limitation. You know, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just amazing because, you know, even that's the whole beauty of even just this conversation. You start experiencing further understanding, you know, literally as we speak, you know, and
yes.
that's probably
literally,
you know, two universes colliding and you're discovering. I mean, that's how I feel.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't call it a collision. It's more an experience. I experience your universe because, I mean, your imagination is by far, you are one of the most imaginative people. And when I say that, children are imaginative, but I don't know many people in our age group as imaginative as you, where you actually... You know, you can write it, you can see it, you can you speak of the subtle world. The imagination is absolutely the subtle realm. And when I say subtle realm, I don't know what number dimension you want to put it on. I would imagine it's in every dimension. And your ability to, you know, to grasp the realness of the so-called non-physical world, it is just like, of course I'm in your universe. I'd like some of that, please. Yes, thank you. I mean, I clearly get that that's part of the essence of you.
Yeah.
I clearly get it, and like I said, and I have no trouble going, no wonder why I'm so attracted to you. The law of attraction. Give me more of that,
lore.
Please.
It's the lore. You know.
Well, it's the law, but it's my soul going, yes, we want more of that on my journey. Because what's happening is once we get to know ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then it makes so much sense why we're attracted to the people we're attracted
Whoa,
to.
Oh, I can't believe you're saying this. Richard Bach, that 7 minute 45 second piece of YouTube, he said the exact same thing about how we are attracted to those who we want to play with, who teach us, who we're learning from. If you listen to that, you're gonna crack up because that's exactly what he was saying. And he lives in the world of imagination now. He doesn't even bother with thinking.
Well, that is more and more what I highly recommend. I'm telling you, 2012 is the year of, I love the dragon, but it's the year of imagination, letting go of the four senses that we have in our brain. And this is what I mean by letting go. I was talking to Dennis about this. Here's what I recommend. Let your four senses move your body. You know, let it, you take a shower, you eat, you brush your teeth, even sex, go have sex. Let your five senses physically get you into those spaces, but interpret and make your decisions based on one sense, the sensation of sensations, the sensing. Because it's not just emotions and feeling, it's sensing. Sensing when you, I mean, I remember for a long time I used to put a white light shield around my car. I mean, I had this rote statement that it was all about the white light protecting me, and I would put it around my car like 20 feet, surround the circumference, to the point where literally I was in a parking lot one Christmas Eve in Stamford. I pulled out, and I felt a bump, and I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. I hit somebody in the parking lot on Christmas Eve, you know, like, Jesus, Goldie, please. And I get out of the car, and my car is like 7 feet from a nearest car.
Wow.
But it was like, so it was my sin. It was so much intention of building that white field around my car and me that it became, that's what I felt hit the car. And it actually stopped me, and it was like, you know, like, son of a gun, because we totally have the capability of going from the five senses are, of course, and this is what I heard recently, you're going to love this, I don't know if you heard this, The five senses are not interpreting our reality. The five senses are creating our reality.
Oh, no, I heard that. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's not coming in. It's going out. And
that's a good one.
Yeah, doesn't that put a whole new shift on how crazy, how limited a world could be with only five senses? So limited. You have no energetics involved with five senses.
Well, I mean, but like even Bill Wood was saying, this is now about what you imagine the world to be. I mean, I've been hearing that a lot lately. So the fact that the senses create, are you saying that the senses are creating the reality by?
Correct.
Wow. That's a really.
Well, meaning, so,
That's
a game changer.
Yes, another one of those things where when you hear it and you start thinking about it, it really changes everything.
Yeah, we do like those nuggets, don't we? Because me and you, we're East Coast girls. We just want, just get to the point. What are you trying to say? Just get to the point. Okay. Well, and the beauty thing is because cellular wisdom, for me, I'm finding, is very congruent. It's easy for me to bridge cellular wisdom to energetic field. That is not a, for me anyways, that's just not a difficult, it feels like a sideway thing. It's like, because when I look at myself as a cell or as a cellular being, I don't have a brain, a heart, a liver, a stomach. I have cells with functions. And in all honesty, Bruce Lipton, he's also said, if my liver needed assistance, cells from my brain could go through my blood, come to my liver, and literally transform themselves from brain function cells to liver cells.
Wow, you know, I've got to read up on this guy.
He's very good. It's holographic. Every cell holographic can be any part of the body.
That's another taking what we perceive as our body's capabilities, our capabilities, what is reality, how is reality created. That is completely flipping what we think that reality is there and we're experiencing it and that's just the way it is, when in fact we've got it backwards. You know, I think that...
Well, backwards, inside out, and upside down.
Right.
Exactly right.
That's really, you know...
It's a game changer. Wait, I got to bring Alana on. Alana just showed up. So, Alana, you're
great.
Off a hold. Come on. Yeah, no, and she'll slide right in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Goldie.
Hello,
Dan. Hello. How are you doing? I'm fantastic.
Now, do you know Janine? Janine.
Yes.
Well, I've talked both about you. You guys, Janine, Alana, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hello there. Hi.
Hello.
We Facebooked each other one time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Janine told me she became your... Yes, that's very cool.
We're officially friends now, yes.
So listen, I want you to share some of the crazy memories you have when I was first doing the show. You know, especially those first seven episodes when, how fun was I back in those days?
Oh, yeah, it's so funny to be back because it feels literally like it was just yesterday when Goldie was like, I'm going to do a radio show. Do you want to help me? And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, so how are we going to do it? And she's like, I think we're just going to do it. And I was like, all right. And then we had all of our outlines all lined out, and I remember we were brainstorming for the topics we wanted to talk about, and then when we came up with another reality show, in the car driving up to Rhode Island to actually go do the radio show, and I remember you holding my hand, and we hear the music, and we hear the countdown, and it's like 5, 4, and you squeeze my hand so incredibly tight, I thought my hand was going to fall off. And then you just said, welcome to another reality show. And I was like, wow, we are actually doing this. I was like, this is actually happening. And I just looked at you, and you looked scared as all get out. Like, you were so doing
it. I was a deer in the headlights, clearly.
You were so deer in the headlights, but it was so fantastic. And, like, it was such a life-changing moment for me, you know, to just, you asked me to do something, and I just believed in you and said, okay, let's do it. And then look how far you've come. And I actually, it's actually the reason why I got into college. The essay, the prompt was write about a life-changing experience. And I've had so many crazy moments that I didn't want to relive another traumatic experience. So I was like, let me pick a very happy moment to write about.
Wow.
And that's the first thing that popped into my head was just you squeezing the crap out of my hand, but you just doing it. And the fact that I was a part of it. Fantastic. And the fact that I had, like, anything to say and knowledge about anything really pretty much came from you, you know, when you raised me when I was, like, a little peanut, when I was, like, 9 years old when I first met you. And then a few years later, you asked
you
me
so
to,
adorable.
You were, you know, my mentor.
Oh.
Another gift, Goldie.
I know.
That's so beautiful.
I love you, Alana.
It's so beautiful, and I get to experience it firsthand as it's happening. Another one. It's been happening all night, Alana.
That's
Goldie's
true.
Goldie's been sharing
yeah.
these things, and it's like, wow, like you know, it's just amazing.
I have really amazing people, truly. Alana, just so you know, literally, I could not have done it without you. No lie. I mean, I was so grateful because what I really want people to know from my perspective is, first of all, the gratitude. I mean, I squeezed Alana's hand throughout many hours of the first 7, 9 shows, whatever it was. I mean, she would look at me during commercial breaks and go, breathe, Goldie, breathe. And I'd be like, I can't breathe. I mean, I'm trying. I just can't. And then when in divinity, and I say this truly, in divinity with our souls, you know, right there, when it was time for me to fly solo, Alana, without an ounce of ego, you know, you just went, it's time for you to fly solo, Goldie, and, you know, I'm here for you, but fly solo. You can do this. And you just don't understand the grace involved in that. Most people, myself, I was such an egomaniac. I was already telling the audience this. I was so filled with ego when I first started doing the show. I remember when I just used to go around telling everybody, I have a radio show. you got something to sell? Well, you can sell it on my show.
Right. But it was fun.
You know,
that was the fun of it. It was you dreamed of having a radio show, and now I have a radio show. What do you have?
I was totally na-na. I mean, that's why, you know, in all honesty, I totally see why, you know, it's on some level, me getting trumped by Greg, you know, with the whole financial stuff, my ego deserved that big slap in its wrist. Totally, because nothing happens in a vacuum. I wasn't a victim of a con job. I was a con job when I first, you know what I mean? I would talk about, you know, soul or authenticity, even though I didn't use those. I would talk about being real, and I was as fake as they got, truly. And that's what makes, now it makes sense. Oh, so that's why you got conned. It's like you're damn straight. You con yourself, the world will con you.
Right.
I mean, that's just what comes around goes around. And that's the beauty of what everybody can kind of, you know why it's easy to love a slaughterhouse person? Because, you know, how good do you think their life is from the perspective of what comes around goes around? You know, if they're off doing, you know, severely negative things to animals, I promise what comes around goes around. So all I have to do is just, you know, look at it from a space of when they're ready, they'll become aware and they'll shift. You know, and in the meantime, the unconditional love says, hey, may you live through your own experiences. God bless.
Yeah.
May you just live through your own experiences. Because, you know, that ultimately becomes, you know, there's no need for revenge.
No.
Revenge will take care of itself. They live in their own in their own experience. You can't do it without a vacuum. It's happening to them.
Yeah.
Alana, you
rock,
babe.
Another game changer.
Another game. That's true. That's true.
Yep.
That's true. So are you coming over Saturday night, you cuckoo bird?
Oh, I'm so coming over. I get my party pants on.
Well, you bring your party back, and I can't wait for Matt and Scott to meet. And
I know, I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You are amazing. I super, super appreciate you
coming on.
And
I remember the first birthday when it was your first show, and it was the paradox of, you know, you were turning 41 and I was 14, but, you know, it's like, this is my soul sister. My soul sister.
Yeah, definitely. Because I thought, all right, I was 9 when I came with you. I thought you were 7 when, but, you know, my memory is shot right now.
I think
so.
I was, you know, like had just turned 8, you know, still young,
okay.
But I had like just turned 8, yeah.
Yeah, no, right on. Because Anya's 7, and I was like, God, this is how old Anya was. I mean, Alana was when right. Okay, there's still a couple
right.
more years. Because she does seem very young. And, I mean, not that you weren't young, too, but. Even though I got to tell the funny story when the very first night I ever babysat for Alana and her brother Max, I brought a cryon channeling. It was a cassette. I brought it in and we were listening to the cassette. And the way Lee Carroll starts the channeling is he introduces cryon. I am cryon of magnetic service and. And they basically go into this thing, we are washing your feet. You know, it's kind of a submissive stance that spirit takes in the channeling. He says that often. He used to anyways, excuse me, about 10 years ago. And Alana and Max freaked out, turn that off, who's washing my feet? Oh, my God, like, what is this thing, and they reacted. They kind of cracked me up because I was totally in the fourth dimensional. You know, I was selling everybody the ascension. I mean, anybody that would listen, including the dog, I was talking about ascension. But the irony of it was later on that night, we're upstairs, and I think it must have been around Halloween, because there was some show that was talking about they were ghost hunting on some level. Mm-hmm. And Alana was glued to the TV, and I'm going, oh, so it's okay to watch the ghosts that, are, causing trouble and havoc and haunting people. But me, I try to bring in Cryon, who wants to wash your feet, and you got issues with it. And she was cracking up, and, I could tell she was kind of scratching her head going, yeah, hi, you might have something there. Just something. I don't want to speak for you, but you seem like you pondered it. And I was like,
yeah.
It was so interesting, going into people's life from that perspective.
Yeah, well, I was so hooked onto the, I was like, oh, well, maybe these shows are going to, prove that, to the mass media that it actually exists. So, even though they were, haunting, and they still kind of creeped me out, because my dad would tell me a few stories if he knew a few haunted houses. So it still always creeped me out, when I'd be home alone. I was like, well, is this house haunted? But,
right, right.
When you played the cryon, because I did kind of believe in, I was like, is it actually coming out of the speakers and touching my feet? And then I'm going to be walking around the house and it's still going to be touching my feet. I was just, it was so over my head. And now I look back at that, and it's so funny.
Well, I'll be honest with you, though, the truth is he was coming out of the speakers and touching your feet. I mean, that's the nature of what spirit can do through intention. But
yeah.
What I learned now through George Kavassalis is, I mean, we don't need to call upon anybody to help. We don't need archangels. We don't need cryon. All we need is ourselves.
Yeah.
Know thyself. Know thyself. Know thyself. Know thyself.
And that was the one thing that you taught me, that even through all the different names that you would throw at me and the theories and the this person says this and this channel and this group over here and this fan group over here and these CDs, the one thing that I always knew, I was like, okay, know thyself. And I always knew I had this core belief and knowing that I will be okay no matter what throws at me. Like, I will be okay because I'll be able to get myself in or out of whatever I need to and adapt and overcome. And that's exactly what I've done. You know, I've just said to myself, I will be okay. And if that's not, if I don't feel okay, that I will make myself feel okay because I know what it feels like to be okay and I know what it feels like to not be okay. And wouldn't you rather feel okay? So
of course.
I just make my life so I feel okay. You know,
that's
why not
great.
Have an awesome life?
Yeah, you're amazing, Alana. Truly, it's so much fun watching you grow up. It is. It's amazing.
It's fun.
You know, yeah.
Like I said, I may be young. I'm like, but I'm doing 20 the best way I know how.
Wow.
You're doing awesome.
You're doing amazing.
Awesome. She is.
I can tell.
Tell the people though. Remember the day you came over? You and Matt came over with the apartment. Just tell that quick story, and then I don't want to hold you all night, but I want people to know how you process stuff, because you're brilliant.
You proved that it has nothing to do with age.
Pardon?
When we found the apartment or when we talked
about
it?
Well, no, remember the day you came over, I guess you had gotten into a fight with Mom.
Oh, yeah, I got into a fight with my mom, and she had pretty much told me that, you know, my boyfriend was living with us at the time because where he was staying with his parents, like, he didn't really have his own room because, you know, they didn't have enough space. So he didn't have privacy. So my mom kindly let him stay with us. But it got to a point where she said, he has till Monday to get out. And I said, well, she's throwing him out. She's throwing me out. I want my own place. I don't want to be in a place that's, you know, welcoming one day and then just at a turn of a hat, it's going to be like that. So I said, we're going to find a place. Because I'm not having that, and I'm not staying. I don't want to live one day, you know, under that and knowing that. So we started looking, you know, I started looking for apartments, and I picked up the Norwalk, you know, the Norwalk Hour, and I looked at one, and it didn't even give a price. It didn't even give an address, and it just said, you know, one room with kitchen, by the beach, utilities included. And I was like, I'm going to give this guy a call. We came, we looked at it. The guy was beyond accommodating, beyond nice, and we had it literally like the next day.
Oh, my God.
And I told my mom, and I was like, look, this is the amount. We're splitting it. I'm pretty much financially stable as it is, so this is what I'm doing. And she was like, well, you know, I always knew that you were an independent person. I was like, but this is me not saying I'm independent. This is not me kind of being independent. This is me being independent.
Exactly.
Watch me be independent.
Wow.
I'm not just going to say it. I'm
walking
to be
the talk.
It and do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And that was a big, I think the reason why I felt so, I wanted you to share is because it was such the dynamic going on within the relationship, because just as a sidebar, from the time Alana was 16 to just right before she was 18, essentially we had to go on what I call blackout status, which is where we stopped talking to each other. And remember, I had known her from 9 to 16, and we were intensely close by the time she was 16. I mean, we had done the radio for a couple of years. I mean, she was one of my best friends. But her parents were like going.
I was a Reiki master by then.
You were a Reiki master.
I was like 13.
You were born present. Put it that way. You like all my other young extraordinary friends. You're born present, and what they had done is basically said they were going to put a restraining order on me if I continued to have a relationship with her. So, I mean, inevitably I surrendered and went, listen, you got to turn 18. We've got 2 years. I mean, literally, I was like, I went through, just like how I speak about Janine when I speak about you having a relationship. I mean, I had breakup with Drew, not seeing Alana. I mean, it was definitely like, holy shit, I can't believe she's not a part of my life.
Right.
But so when they came over at this point, there had been such, the whole game that was being played within people reacting to just me and Alana was control. Everything was about control. And when she came over and said this, because she was like, initially when she got here, she's like, what am I going to do? And I went, what are you going to do? Go get an apartment. And, you know, it wasn't that she, because as soon as she heard it, she went, yeah, huh? I went, totally. This is your time. You know, you've got all the tools. You just you don't even have to dig. Your mother becomes the piece of sand that creates the pearl. I mean, this is what happens to all, you know, and it was like, and as soon as she did it, a few months later, she ended up upgrading her job. It's like, I look at Alana all the time and go, there's nothing you can't have that you know, and because Alana's not, she's not a pig, you know what I mean? She's not looking for billions and she, you know, humble stuff, you know, a place to myself, you know, security from a financial point of view in humbleness, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nothing extraordinary. She's not looking for fame and, you know, the next Dancing with the Stars. I mean, because she's present, you know, she's just working her life, living her life with her boyfriend. And, you know, but it was just so extraordinary because I that one moment for me was like she went from being the manipulated child to the master of her reality. It was just extraordinary. It really was.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I thank you for being a part of every step.
Yeah.
Because
I love you.
I'm so different, you know, from knowing, because you were, I remember you being, you know, kind of giving me some tough love when I was younger. And when I'd be like, I don't know. You'd be like, well, decide, what do you want? Like, you were the first person that directly said, what do you want? And I was like, wow, I don't even know. I don't even know how to answer that. I want a trampoline, but that's not what she's talking about. Like, she was the first person that just said, you know, you have some control in your life. Although I was surrounded by everyone else wanting to control me and feeding off of the fact that I was so easily able to, you know, adapt to people and to get along with everyone, that if you're like that and you're around control, it becomes very difficult. And
yeah,
especially if you put the weight. Yeah, you have to just break away. I was just like, why can't I just be this magical number 18, where that's when people will realize that, you know, I am a person. I do have choices. I do have an opinion, regardless of my age, because that was always my battle was, you know, oh, you're only 13. You don't know what you're talking about. You're only 14. You're not even 18. You can't even drive. You can't even do this. And that's all I heard. And she was the one person that said, go for what you want. Go after what you want, because in the end, it's your life. You're the one living it. Make sure that you're the happy person in it and not the one struggling and, you know, staying up all night worrying about what other people think. And that's all I did is I worried about what everyone else would think about what I did. And I always pushed what I thought to the side. And she said, no, that should be your main core belief, that every foot you take forward, that you believe in everything that you do. And that's what I do. If I don't believe in it, then it's like karma. It'll come back around. And I mean, like, instantly for me. I will sometimes instantly manifest. If I think a slightly negative thought, sometimes it'll instantly manifest. And I'm like, wow, that's powerful. I really do have control over this. I need to think positively, and I need to see myself how I want to see myself and not let what other people think get in the way. And she's really the one that, you know, gave me some balls to do that.
Right on.
Yeah, I
love you, girl.
Well, this is so great for me to hear. It's just so great.
Yeah, these are my kids, man.
It's
you know,
wonderful.
I never had kids, but I've always said Alana's my kid. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I went through my teenage stuff. You know, I did the stuff that, and of course it was a little, what do they call it, where it's not normal. Meaning, it's not, and normal's not the word I want to use. It's not the way you generally do things, you know, I mean, because, you know, her father used to say to me all the time, what is it?
Unconventional,
perfect. We did it unconventionally because, you know, I get it when, you know, people look at, you know, they go, you're 41 and she's 14. What are you two doing hanging out with each other?
Yeah.
You know, and it was Matt, her boyfriend, who gave the word, you know, he goes, you were her mentor. And I went, Jesus, that, right, that's right, God damn it, I am her mentor. You know, like, what? Because they were only looking at the, her parents were only looking at the distortion of it, you know, the whole,
yeah.
what I would call the Michael Jackson of it.
Yes,
and I'm going,
exactly.
Because we had everything in common. We had spirituality, we had that we cared about each other. Alana was my first, as an adult, the first person in my life that was just this amazing wingman. I mean, she was amazing. And it was like, that's why I went through such withdrawals when I couldn't talk to her. And it's funny, because we didn't actually go the full 2 years, right? Because I think it was like a year and a half. It was right after your birthday, but you were 17. And I think because I remember when we went and slept at Hawk Rock with Phil in the group, that first night we got back together, you were still not even 18. It's just, by this
right,
point,
that,
you had Dylan. You had
right,
already
that
started
was,
to make the...
Right, that was when I was, like, you know, trying to break out. That's when, like, I literally was, like, right before I went to almost West Virginia, when my mom was like, all right, well, if you want to be independent, and she didn't like any of the choices I was making, she said, all right, you want to be independent, you're independent, and she, you know, kicked me out of the house, and I was like,
well
all right.
Because that was another form of control. Well,
yeah,
it's so funny, right? Yeah, that's that passive-aggressive stuff. God
mm-hmm.
bless, you know, parents with their kids. And I know how many times have my father thrown me out? Several times.
Right.
But ultimately, what they don't realize is, and it's so funny because I say this to Scott all the time. I go, you know, every time you show me I can live it on my own, you make me stronger in my sovereignty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, as hard as that is, it is ultimately teaching you, yes, you can do it on your own. You can.
Yeah. You just got to do it.
You know.
The only
you
way
gotta
to do it, is,
well,
to do it.
is to do it. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't talk about it. Talking about it, don't change yourselves. Don't change your experience. It just changes the amount of sound in the room.
yeah. exactly.
so, you are
wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah, but Janine, I'm sorry. Please, do you have anything
oh,
to share?
Oh, no, it's just great. I was just saying wonderful. It's so great to hear her talk about you, and I'm so amazed by you, Alana. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. One night we're going to get you. We're going to have another Alana show. I mean, because
yeah,
Alana,
you got
to
come
to
back
be quite,
on.
You got to come back on because truly, your journey, people would benefit from hearing.
Mm.
And you
I
know what I'm saying?
To,
and
yeah.
okay, because you know, I know you got that transparency thing down. You know, no fear. There's nothing
right.
to hide because nobody controls you.
Exactly. I mean, I'd like to think of it as like, you know, I like to experience a lot and I like to experience it. But if I kind of like delve into something that's, you know, oh, that's not really good. I like to, you know, feel it full force, feel the full emotion and then just say, okay, I felt that. I've experienced that. I know what that feels like. Now I can choose to either experience that again or do something differently. So,
exactly.
you know, throughout, you know, I feel like I've done so much in my short, you know, 20 years of being here, but I've done
right
so much and I've learned so much about myself just by doing things, just by doing yeah. things and trying new things and going out of my comfort zone. Because if I stayed in my comfort zone, I would have stayed in a little Catholic religious school being Jewish till about the end of my high school years. And I would have known nothing. I would have stayed in a box and I would have pretty much been okay with it if I didn't look at myself and say, no, I'm definitely more than this. I can do so much more than this.
Mm.
So you just have to stretch yourself and do it. But it's
right.
so much more fun and it's so much more, you know, just you get so much more out of it when you experience the things you want to experience, when you live for the moments that you look back on. That's what I like to do. Like, hurry up,
wow.
live the moments, you know, hurry up and live the moments that you're going to pause and rewind back to.
No. You are brilliant, babe. I'm telling you. But you know, you know what the key about it's just presence. You
yeah.
know, she has the presence. It's because it's exactly right. Coming out of our comfort zone is where all the juice in life is. It is where
yep.
all the juice in life is. know, listening to the whatever the voice in your head that's saying, you know, especially the controlling voice, you know, beings that are saying, listen, do this, because ultimately what they're saying is, because it makes my life easier if you do. You know, I mean, and if that's where you want to be, then that's glorious. Because like with me and Scott, I want to make Scott's life easier. I do. I want that so, you know, especially on days when I'm grateful. It's like, God, I love being able to help him. That is, you know, because I tend to have selfish tendencies. Yeah, I love making his life better.
How can you make it better?
Yeah,
and
but not from control though. You know, like if it's coming from parents or government or, you know, some role of authority that's like, you know, kind of with the, you know, they're kind of looking down at you, going, you know, either through guilt, control, manipulation, you know, almost daring you, going, you know, do you have the balls to do it? Well, you know, God bless. You know, if you need a coach, hey, I'm here. I will definitely coach you to have the balls. And not from a place because I haven't lived it, but from a place of I got balls the size of Idaho potatoes.
That you do.
You know,
that you do.
I quit jobs when I don't have money. I do. I date black men when it's not supposed to be done. You know, whatever the choice. I just follow my own. I follow my own drummer, and you know, is it the easiest life? No, but it is. Is it the juiciest life? Oh hell yeah, hell yeah. And once you know it, you'll never want to be subservient to anything or anyone ever again. Yeah. And that's what the soul wants from all of us, to just be authentic. It doesn't matter how it expresses itself. As long as it's bringing you joy, then run with it, man. Run with it, jump with it, play with it. Be it. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm so happy I was able to call in, and I can't wait till Saturday.
Yeah, me too.
I can't
wait either. So thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It was incredible. This has been happening, the whole phone call. But thank you so much, and I hope to meet you someday.
Oh, we definitely will. We'll have a get-together, a little rendezvous.
Okay. Okay.
We will rendezvous. Right. Okay, and it's been set on the air, so you know what that means? It all happened.
I know.
It's definitely happening. Right. I love you, Alana.
All right.
Good night.
I love you, too. I'll see you later. Bye.
Good night. Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Well, and, you know, I forget because I really was a hard ass with her, man.
But for 20 years old,
relentless.
She's amazing.
Yeah, can you feel that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Another organic experience.
I know. Well, and of course, you going, look, this is another gift. It's like, you know, God, we will rendezvous, Janine. And now I want Alana in the car with me and Alana. And we're either meeting somewhere in the middle or we're going to go do something fantastic like camping. I don't know what, but definitely.
Okay.
My two wingmen must
meet.
Oh, no,
it will happen when the weather gets probably, you know, nicer and...
Yeah, right.
I'll
on.
Come up,
right,
or
on.
You'll come down, or something like that.
Okay.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, most definitely. Okay, because you two, you both literally, I don't have many slots that fall into best friend, but it really is. That is both of your space for me.
Yeah.
You're just, you know.
What an amazing thing, though, for her to have you as a nanny. Isn't that perfect? You know?
Yeah.
And then,
want to hear the funny part about that? You know why her mom picked me?
Why?
It was from a... there was a list, because at the time I was Cindy, but I spelt my name with an I, and she went, oh, look at that. She spells it differently. Let's try her.
Oh, wow.
Remember what you had said earlier this afternoon about the Golden Hawk?
Yes.
It exact same energy.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been good.
Yeah, it's been amazing, as always. Thank you for celebrating my anniversary with me. It really
is. You're welcome. This is I kept smiling the whole time, going, "Oh my God, look at this! This is great." So,
yeah.
Just so
yeah.
You know, again, unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea what she was going to talk about, and I don't know why it was so compelling to me for her to tell that story too.
She's such a natural.
Just something in me was like, yeah, I just needed her to share that. I don't know why, but so be it. Somebody out there needs to hear it, probably. So God bless.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I swear I got like I'm giddy right now.
That's good.
Yeah,
giddy's
I'm
good.
Literally giddy. Yeah, I feel. I definitely don't feel tired. I was a little tired, you know, coming into the show. As you know,
yeah.
You might have even felt the same way. You know, like you got a lot coming up this weekend, and
yep.
You know,
got to be up at
now.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, God bless. Well,
right.
I know. Oh, Janine, everything about you is all right. You really are one of the most all right people I know. You are just all right.
Thanks.
High five. Ready? Virtual high five.
Well, no. Thank you so much for asking me to come on again. I love it. And, you know, we'll start a new version of what does the another reality show look like, and I'm sure it'll let you know.
Right.
Sure, I'll let you know.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating with me and sharing with me and, oh, just bringing tremendous, tremendous wisdom, insight, love, compassion to my world. It's, you're my star. You are my star.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll be doing this again on Monday night.
Yay! Yes, because just so you know, tonight, and I know you got an early morning, we won't phone call after the show tonight.
Okay.
I'll let you get some sleep because I'm also going to jet to Scott's.
Sure.
And so, but I love you.
I love you too.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow night. We'll call you, me and Anya will call you with the, you know, the order for the thing, and or just
yeah.
to talk. And
call me in Toronto.
Yeah, definitely call you in Toronto. Make sure my girl lands okay. You listen, universe. Well, it's lore. You're good. The whole plane just got safe because you're on it. You got way too much stuff to be doing. You're not checking out anytime soon. And I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I love you.
I love you too, and happy birthday, and
thank you.
We'll be talking to everybody Monday night, and we'll let you know how everything went.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Right on. Have an amazing weekend, Janine. Have an amazing weekend, audience. Have an amazing weekend, Kevin. Have an amazing weekend, Simon and Susan. And
yay.
Oh, God bless. I love you all. You guys rock my world. Thank you. I love you all.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Night.
Good night.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.